My dear sons and daughters, in confident and vigilant hope, this is how we summarize the main content of the liturgical message today. The first reading cites the faith-filled preparedness of the ancient Hebrew slaves in Egypt before their mass exodus to the promised land. Their trusting faith in their God's promises gave them hope. We are told how their faith and hope resulted in their liberation. Like those Jewish slaves in Egypt, we too have been called to cling to the hope of the future that may seem too good to be true, and we too are expected to be steadfast in our faith, even when we see no signs of the fulfillment of God's promises. Today's Psalm 33 invites us to express our own confidence in God and to declare our trust in His providence. In the second reading, taken from the last chapter of Paul's letter to the Hebrews, Paul defines faith as the realization of what I hope for, an evidence of things not seen. He tries to bolster the faith of the Jewish Christians, the Hebrews at that time, by appealing to the example of their ancestors, starting with Abraham and narrating the things they had accomplished by faith. Abraham heard the voice of God summoning him to a different land where God promised to grant him many descendants. By faith, brothers and sisters, Abraham left his homeland, accepted God's promise that his descendants would form a great nation, and was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac at God's command. Despite obstacles and setbacks, Abraham stayed obedient, for he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. Pope Francis, in his first encyclical letter, Lumen Fidei, the Light of Faith, at number 8, commenting on Abraham, our father in faith, he says, "Here, a unique place belongs to Abraham, our father in faith. Something disturbing takes place in his life. God speaks to him. He reveals himself as a God who speaks and calls his name. Faith is linked to hearing. Abraham does not see God, but hear his voice. Faith thus takes on a personal aspect. God is not the God of a particular place or deity linked to a specific sacred time, but the God of a person, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, capable of interacting with man and establishing a covenant with him. Faith is our response to a world which engages us personally, to a thou who calls us by name." In the Gospel, Jesus challenged his disciples to trust the Father's promise to give them eternal happiness in his kingdom. But they are to be prepared at all times, because the Son of Man may come at an unexpected hour, either at the moment of their death or at the end of the world. Using the master-servant parable, Jesus reminds us always to do the will of God, by obeying his commandments of love, offering humble and sacrificial service to others. Using the master thief parable, Jesus wants us to be on our guard so that the thief, the devil, may not steal our treasure of divine grace by his temptations. Today's gospel, brothers and sisters, taken from Luke chapter 12, is one of three eschatological discourses in the gospel. All three of the synoptic gospels records Jesus' concern for waiting his disciples to keep alert, to keep watch over themselves with careful attention. The passage is a collection of short parables in which the chief charisters are a master representing the risen Jesus and his servant representing Jesus' followers. According to the early fathers of the church, Jesus' words in this passage have two meanings. In the narrower sense, the words refers to the second coming of Jesus, but in the broader sense, they refer to the time of our own death, when God will call us to meet him and to give him an account of our life on earth. Since the precise times of each is unknown to us, the proper attitude for Jesus' followers is constant watchfulness. The Easter lamp was like a cotton wick floating in a vessel of oil. The wick had to be kept trimmed at all times and the lamp replenished with oil. Otherwise, the light would go out. What Jesus teaches us through these comparisons is that our relationship with God, the Father, must be constantly replenished by our prayers, our sacramental life, the reading of Holy Scriptures, and acts of charity. Since the Lord is committed to us in a covenant of unbreakable love and fidelity, we must respond with equal commitment, no matter how difficult it may be. Fortunately, God gives us the grace and strength to remain faithful, and he will reward our faithfulness. In the second part of today's gospel, Jesus exhorts his followers to be steadfast in their faith and ever vigilant. He explains his points using three mini parables. The servants of a master were entrusted the management of the household. Because during Jesus' days, although stewards were slaves, they had almost unlimited power. A trusted steward ran his master's house and administrated his estate. When his master was not at home, the steward was ever vigilant. He prepared himself for his master's return at any time of the day or night, but always doing his duties faithfully. Jesus illustrates the same point using another mini parable of the wise servant waiting for the return of their master after a wedding feast. Jesus teaches us the need for constant vigilance using yet another mini parable of the thief and the treasure. Today, brothers and sisters, looking back on 2,000 years of Christian history, we find it difficult to expect Christ's second coming during our lifetime. But we are sure to meet him at our death, when we should always be ready to give him an account of our lives. And the best way to wait is surely in praying and doing good for others. We live by hope, but the entire history of salvation has proven to us, century after century, that when we place our hope in God, we are not disappointed. And to be vigilant in order to end with a happy ending, the last page of the history of our life.